So like Patrick said, I was in an accident, the road of my car. This morning I've been getting a lot of messages from car salesmen. So I've tried to turn off, Al, you've turned off notifications. On. We'll see what happens. And it was a bit of a different morning for me because, it's a celebration Sunday. It's a resurrection Sunday. And it is a sense like in worship, what we're going to probably go into. We're going to do a bit of stomping. We're going to do a bit of jumping. We're going to do a bit of... But that's not where we went. And and this morning we get to celebrate our Lord. We get to come with grateful hearts this morning and say, thank you, Lord, that you've changed our destinies and our eternities. Leah, can you put up the first scripture? The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lays. Has anyone this morning seen or posted on a WhatsApp group or on a social group or on anything? He has risen. He's alive. He's out of the grave. He's defeated death. So lift up your hand if you've done that or you've seen it. Right? Donna's making sure that she's not on socials. No, I just saw it. I just saw it. And for me, often when we come to Easter, there's this explanation. Like Patrick was saying, that the stone was rolled away. That he's alive. And there's a lot of reasons why it was impossible. Those 2,000 kilograms. There was an army guard. There not one guard. There was a group of army soldiers there. They were threatened under death if they fell asleep. There was all these things that made it impossible that tomb would not be sealed. But in the morning, it was not sealed. The tomb was empty. But I think this morning is not an explanation of logically, of knowledge, of history, that tomb was not sealed. So do you receive it in your heart this morning that he is alive? Do you know that he is alive? And I love the story and I share it a lot. And I think Nadine posted it also yesterday. There's this pastor, his name was Alistair Begg. And he was ministering to a man on his deathbed. And this man was not saved. And this man gave his heart to the Lord, but he asked the pastor, but surely I'm not saved. Surely I'm not going to heaven. I lived my whole life one way. How do I know that I'm going to heaven? How do I know that I'm saved? And he shared the story of the thief on the cross. And he said that in that moment, the thief looked to Jesus on the cross and he said, remember me. That was faith. Remember me. This is a picture of salvation. Remember me. And then love and grace flowed from Jesus in that moment. And he said, today, you will see me in paradise. And the only person that could make that statement is Jesus. Because you are saved by faith, through grace, in Christ alone. And he goes on to tell the story of when this thief, when he meets this thief in heaven, he's going to ask him, how did that go? Like, when the angel asks you, like, do you understand justification and sanctification? Nope. Did you go to the house churches? Nope. Well, then what are you doing here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And you know that is going to be each and every one of our answers on that day. On that day, it's not going to be what we did. You know, like Patrick and Gavin, and I got the guy here to jump here in the front. I don't know if that's going to be good enough. I don't know if the guys jumping in front is going to go to heaven. I don't know if there's a quiet guy sitting somewhere, or lady that's sitting there, they're doing business with the Lord, that's not jumping up and down, that is speaking to Jesus, that is like, can say that on that day, the man in the middle crosshead. And that's why we're here this morning. It's a celebration. He's alive. He has risen. But it's only a celebration to you if he's alive to you. I remember I got saved when I was 30. Just a few years ago. I know, baby. Yeah, no, guys, there's always that accuser. But anyway, we carry on. We carry on. Let's stay on. So I saved at 30. But for all these years, I used to go to mass. And I was an altar boy for many of those years. So I've been many of these services, these Easter Sunday services where we celebrate the resurrection. And you know what? I knew about Jesus. Look, I knew the altar boys I served with. I'm not sure any of us knew Jesus. And we knew about him. And I remember, and I came to church because it's what we did. I came to church because my parents forced me. And as I came, I learned about this Jesus, but I never knew him. It was a tradition. It was a religion. It wasn't a relationship. But you know, when I was 30 and I got saved, I went to knowing about him, to a resurrection. There was new life that came. And I don't know why you're here this morning. Maybe you came here this morning because you know he's alive. You came to celebrate this morning. Maybe you came here today because your parents forced you to come. Maybe you came here today because this is what we do on Easter Sunday. Maybe it's a tradition. You say there's only one reason you should have come here today. Is to celebrate the man on the middle cross. And when I ask you, know him. Hey, I didn't check my time. So when I ask, do you know him? I'm asking, has he changed your heart? Has he come into the hard places of your heart and softened it? Have you seen him? Have you felt him in your tests and in the fire? In your trials? Have you felt him close? Have you known him in freedom, in breaking free from things that you thought you'd never break free from? Do you know him? I was going to call Leah up, but she's multitasking. I'm not sure if she can come. She's on AV today. But last week, Leah had a story, or a word. And she said that she had a picture of us all sitting in an ark. And the dove came and the olive branch to say that there's land. But there is some of us still sitting in that ark. Because it's safe and it's comfortable. And it's hidden. And I'll ask you this morning, the title of my preach is, are you in or are you out? And for some of you, that question is, are you dead in a tomb today? And for some of you, that question is, are you hiding in an ark today? Are you like in this ark and you're like, I'm saved. Like I can just carry on with life, just doing my thing, following my plan, living my life. But I'm safe. I'm on the ark. Someone close the doors. let's just make sure. Or like the word Gavin brought, are you a person that's stepping out into everything that Jesus called us to? Are you in or are you out? Next scripture, please. So my first point is, and I'm pretty much going to just walk us quickly through this Easter weekend. So this is the next day. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while you are still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. Carry on. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that they had raised from the dead. This last deception would be the worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. Right, so in this moment, the opposition, the religious leaders were still busy. Now she's not here today, but there's a young lady that we are hosting at the moment. Her name is Suri. She's engaged. And whenever I speak to her and a fiancé, she always tells me, Uncle Joe, you're my ops. I figure out later that that means the opposition. So I can see, I know who's the young people. The young people that giggled, they knew what it was. The rest of the church. It means the opposition. Let me say that the ops were busy. The opposition was busy. They wanted to make 100% sure that this thing of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the story of this Messiah, a line would be drawn. That would be the end. And the disciples, the believers, they were hidden. They were locked away. I can imagine that they were scared, despondent. They went from, in 24 hours, he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, to it is done. It's over for us. And I wonder if there's any of us here today that has their things in our heart. It is done. Like, this thing is dead. Some of the things Gavin spoke about. Like marriages, friendships, dreams, hopes. And maybe in that place this morning, like those disciples. And let me say, they were not planning a comeback. At that moment, they were grieving and broken. And you know, throughout history, there's been this opposition to seal the tomb. The persecutions we read about in Acts. Go read the Fox Book of Martyrs. All the opposition that came against the church to seal this thing again. To contain it again. Now the Roman Emperor Nero, a few decades after this, he made a decision to wipe out Christianity. In a cruel way. He had it at his parties. He said that he burned Christians alive and made them like on lampposts to light up his parties. He had the strongest army, the most powerful army at that time in history. He was leader of the biggest empire, the most powerful empire. And he said, I am going to seal this thing called Christianity. But let me say that today, the Roman Empire is not what it was. But I can say that the name of Jesus today is being lifted up by billions. He still stands. And the word says that when everything else shakes, the only thing that will not shake is our King and His kingdom. But you know that I've had experiences where I felt something is done. You know, when I say done, like there's no comeback. Like I remember my daughter Alex, she dropped the phone once. You know when you drop your phone face down and you hear sound? On a garage floor. But she didn't even know. She didn't even know. So it was kind of done. But then as big brothers do, Jordan then reversed over the phone. So if there was any, that is what I call done, done. You know, it was maybe done, but now you're definitely done. You know, when the insides are sticking out, it is done. And you know that there is, for each of us, there is this pushing, this opposition to our walk with the Lord. And if you do not know the Lord this morning, do you know that there is an opposition, a pushing against you stepping in, you stepping out of that tomb today? I remember, and I've shared a story with many of you, I was probably 2 years in Josh Chen, and I felt that thing of, I'm done. Like I was kind of on the Saturday morning place of, I knew he died. And it wasn't sudden, it wasn't some big disaster that happened. It was the slow thing of the stone being rolled back. Where the life of Jesus was slowly leaking out. And I came to this place of, is he even alive? And I wanted to walk away. And I remember that morning when I was going to tell Tanya, I was basically on my bed going through the Bible. Don't ask me why. And God took me to Revelation 3. And essentially it says, wake up and strengthen what remains. And there was a sense in me that God is not done. And it wasn't people. It wasn't my posture. It was the Spirit of God. And from that day, I've been running for the things of God and things of His kingdom and running towards Him. You know what it felt like that morning in my room? It felt like resurrection. I want to say, if there's any dead thing in your life, anything that's done, done, that's final, we serve a God that specializes in breaking out of dead tombs. And I said, it can be easy to, when we read this also on the Sunday morning, like, where's the faith of the disciples? I remember I used to think that. I'm like, you walk with Jesus, come on, He told you this is going to happen. It's not like you're shocked, He told you this is going to happen and you're hiding away. Where's your faith? But we all face these things. Maybe you've prayed and nothing's happened. Maybe you've stepped out and tried things. And everything you tried didn't work. Maybe you felt the Lord say something or you received the word, and when you did that thing, the opposite thing happened. And in you, it's like, there's this thing of, I'm done. And I say, some of us have been living on Saturday. Like Jesus died on the cross. And you're somewhere there, or you're still in the tomb, or you're like, now I'm coming out, all the old things, I'm laying down things, Lord, I'm not swearing, I'm talking kinder, I'm doing all these outward things. On the outside. But you're not walking in the resurrection power of God. I wonder what is still in that tomb. Maybe your marriage is there. Obviously, you're not telling your wife or your husband, but in your heart. Maybe there's broken relationships that to you is dead. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's sin that you've struggled with for years, and it's just part of me now. Lord, you'll understand, but like, just by the way His word says, you won't. And there's all these things that we've buried because we're done. And we think the Lord cannot do anything about them. Maybe it's things you carry. Maybe you got offenses and all these. A lot of these came in a prayer meeting. There's offenses, unforgiveness. There's opinions you hold. Family feuds. Maybe there's unanswered prayers. You prayed for your kids to get saved. Maybe it's your very faith that is starting to get buried. Maybe you're hurting the church. And maybe you're coming here today, you're coming here this morning out of faithfulness. It's what I do. Maybe that's the only reason you're coming, but in your heart you know you're done. God is not done. And you know the problem with something that's final, it's worse than a bad thing, it's worse than a terrible thing, something that is final, something that is done. There's nothing quite as grieving as that. Maybe you received a medical diagnosis. Maybe there was a death. Maybe you are grieving a friendship, a relationship. The only answer that we have is to come before God that has the power to resurrect. I'll move on to point two, by the way. The God's not done. Guys, I'm learning the structure thing. I'm learning it. So while everyone had given up, the ops were busy setting guards and stones and doing whatever they needed to do. God, the disciples were hiding away. God wasn't done. God had a plan. God was busy. Do you know that this wasn't a, oh, I have to scramble now. What has happened? This wasn't a shock to him. This wasn't, oh, I need a plan B. This was always the plan. Who has ever watched the greatest prison movie? And I think probably the best movie ever in history. Who has ever watched it? Shawshank Redemption. Patrick, can we get a Kit Kat afterwards for this? I know your fans is laying low, but can we get a Kit Kat here for Zach? Thank you. Thank you, brother. The Shawshank. Who's watched the Shawshank Redemption? Okay. Quickly, if you haven't watched it. This guy, his name is Andy. And he goes to prison. He's sentenced to life for killing his wife, but he didn't. He's innocent. And everyone in the prison is doing things, and you're like watching this movie, and it's like, oh, it's prison life. And in the movie, like, he's doing lekker things in the prison, and he's, the guards think he's going to die there. His friends think he's going to die there. Everyone thinks he's, like, there's no possibility of parole. He's never getting out. And he's doing all these things, and I'm thinking, this is what the movie's about. It's quite interesting. But he had a plan for 20 years. He had a post of somebody. And what he was, I think it was a little chisel thingy. He was scraping. So for 20 years, he was creating a tunnel from his cell block, his tomb. He was chiseling a way out for 20 years. And when that tunnel was made, he crawled through one night. No one knew. He crawled through, he took the poster down, crawled through this tunnel. And the movie shows as he comes out, and as he's free, it's raining, and he lifts his hand up because he stays his freedom. He's been redeemed. And it's called the Shawshank Redemption. And when he said that, no one knew he had a plan. And no one knew God had a plan. And there's a whole preach what God was doing in that gap. That's a whole different preach. But let me say that God had a plan. Can you put up Acts 2:24, please? Leah, you are doing very well. I can't believe it's your second time. From next week, you are senior AV. Faith, please, promoter. Where's Faith? Okay. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Is that encouraging? It wasn't difficult. It wasn't unlikely. It was impossible. The most persistent, the most inevitable thing in the natural world is death. It's going to come for all of us, a natural death in this world. The most powerful thing, the thing that cannot be stopped, came to Jesus, and it could not contain him. Yes, it couldn't contain him. And I'm going to say that, like the word says, there was an earthquake. The angel came, he rolled the stone away, he sat on the stone, and he said that the tomb is empty, he is alive. And not symbolically, like physically, historically, literally, the tomb was empty. And you know that the word points to this. This is the greatest day in history. You know the day we're celebrating today? It is the greatest day in history. And everything pointed to this. You know all the miracles? I've seen people receive miracles and walk away from the Lord. I've seen people that seen miracles and walk away from the Lord at some point. You know, all these miracles that Jesus did, it was temporary. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but he still died. He healed the sick, but sickness was still there. The 5,000 were fed, but they were hungry the next day. What about the shadows in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus? When Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac and the ram, the scapegoat, was caught. The Passover lamb, when every firstborn of Israel was saved by the blood on the doors. What about Jonah? 3 days in the whale. It all pointed to this day. You know, this day, this is the main event. Resurrection is the main event. Death was not delayed anymore. Death was defeated. And that, what that means for us that are here this morning, and why it's the greatest day in history. Because when we die in this life, it is not the end. There's a new life. There's a new eternity we have with Him. And I say, if there's anything you've given up on, something you know, you don't have to tell anybody. If there's anything you've given up on, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's all those things I mentioned, sin, relationships, dreams. Maybe the gifts that God has given you. Maybe prophetic words spoken over your life. Everything that is still in that tomb. Every one of those things can be resurrected in the power of the God we serve. And I'm on my last point. Because He lives, everything changes. Leah, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So the tomb is empty, right? What now? What do we do with it? Paul said something radical in this verse. He says that as Jesus died, we died. And as He's resurrected, there's this resurrection, this new life in us. And the Bible puts it this way. It says that we are dead. We were dead. And when we get saved, we come alive. And I want to ask that, are you somewhere on Saturday? Are you in this place? Maybe you've left the old behind. Because that talks of the dead things it speaks about is the old things, the dead things that has been left behind. But it also says it's a new life. This new life we walk in. And if you are sitting here this morning and you're like, no, the old things have passed away, I know that. When I speak to people, they say, oh, you've changed so much. You don't swear anymore. Oh, you're not smoking. Whatever you used to smoke. Whatever. But what is the new things you are walking in of God? What is the call on your life? What is the purposes? Has your dreams changed? Has your plans changed? Has it impacted the destiny of you and your family? You know, three of my kids is here today in the service for the first time in an hour long. I got all three of my kids in the same service. I got 1 year. They're not sitting together. I don't know. Are you guys okay? There's 1 year, there's one there, and there's one there. And I'm trusting they're not here because I'm here. They're not here because this is what we do. I'm trusting they're here because their destinies, their eternities are changed by knowing this God. You know, there was a man called John Newton. You might not know his name, but he wrote Amazing Grace, my mom's favorite song or hymn. You know, he was a slave trader. And then he encountered God. He said, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That wasn't a poem. It was an autobiography. It was a testimony. Because not only did he leave the old things buried, and like, oh, I'm no longer a slave trader. Now he stepped into the new. He dedicated his life to eradicating slavery. There's this double-edged thing of the old must be buried, but there needs to be a new life. You can't have half this thing. You need both. Walk out of your tomb. So how does it look? You know, and every single person I know that's given their heart to the Lord will give these whispers. But you're still the same person. Nothing has changed. You're not even worthy of being saved. What about all the things you've done? And your response is, when I received Jesus, every single one of those things were nailed to the cross and buried. What about fear of stepping out into the new? What about the resistance we face? This morning we get access to the resurrection power of God. None of us can do this on our own. We need the Spirit of God. It's not by power or might. It's by the resurrection power of the Spirit of the living God for us to live. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I'm doing okay. I'm kind of slowly moving forward. I'm kind of standing still. I'm kind of, for the last 10 years, I'm kind of in the same place. But I'm saved and I'm, you know that is like a yacht on the water with no anchor. You know what happens? It will drift to the winds. And let me just say, the winds of this world will cause you to drift away from the things of God. Every single person I know that has become comfortable, that has become fearful, that has shifted their focus to their life, has drifted away from the calling and the purposes and the power of God. And now he's alive. He's alive this morning. And you know that stone was rolled away not for Jesus. You know Jesus could have gotten out with the stone still there. Huh? You know he could walk through walls. We've seen this. The stone was rolled away so we could look in and see that the tomb was empty. That was for us to see that he's alive. But do you see it? Like, do you see it this morning that he is alive? And the good news is, if you do not see it, you get an opportunity to. The resurrection of Jesus is not a good story. It's an invitation to each and every one of us. The question isn't whether God is able. The question is whether you will step out.